This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover lots of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thank you for having me this afternoon.
We want to talk about the recent announcement that you were re-elected ninth term, if I remember right, from being the president of the Association of ONC Counties. And with all that is going on right now related to timber, we thought we would bring that topic back to the table right now and talk about it. What led you to get involved with that when you've got a lot of other things to do as well?
Well, again, thank you for having me here. And there is always an incredible number of things as a county commissioner to work on. But here in Douglas County, since we have historically funded county government off of a shared timber receipt off of federal lands, this issue remains one of our most important issues to focus on. And the Association of ONC Counties is a unique association that was put together for making sure there is a voice for these unique lands of ONC, and it just happens that Douglas County has the greatest number of those lands. They are in 18 counties here in Oregon, and it is an incredibly complex set of issues to try to figure out how best to manage those lands and to make sure we are fulfilling the congressional intent of those lands.
Just so people understand, this is different organization than the Association of Oregon Counties.
Yeah, so the Association of Oregon Counties, they have all different issues that county commissioners work on, from making sure the funding for the roads are appropriate, social service issues, issues around homelessness, and really the entire gamut of county government issues the Association of Oregon Counties works on. And I've played different roles in that and been on their board and served as co-chairs of some of their committees and have done some of that work. But the Association of ONC Counties is a singly focused organization. We only work on ONC land issues and those things that affect the ONC lands. Again, ONC lands are a unique set of lands in Oregon. They're named after the Oregon-California Railroad, but they are lands strictly and wholly in Oregon, and they're only in 18 counties in Oregon. And they were a set of lands that were once granted into the private sector. They were owned by a private company, by the railroad company. That grant was for the exchange of the railroad company building the railroad that we see in our community. That's part of the original ONC Railroad. It goes north all the way to Portland and south to Ashland, and that ONC section of the railroad was built by the federal government giving every other section of land, almost four million acres, to the railroad company for the purpose of underwriting the cost of building that railroad. The railroad took the grant, they build the actual rail line. The railroad company took the grant, build the rail line, and then they didn't fulfill some of the requirements of the grant. And eventually the federal government, through a lawsuit that went to the U.S. Supreme Court, took a portion of the lands that the railroad company still had back into public ownership. That's why oftentimes they're referenced as revested lands. They once were private, brought back into public ownership, and that's really why they're checkerboard and so unique. A couple more times they tried to sell those lands, they weren't successful, and finally in 1937 the ONC Act was passed. The ONC Act is really an amazing act. First, it's the first conservation act. It has a term in it that says these lands shall be managed under the principles of sustained yield. Sustained yield's a forestry term, meaning you never cut more in any given year than what grows in any given year. So you'll always have the amount of timber and forest out there is when you started managing it. The other thing it did is it talked about sharing the value of harvesting that timber with the counties. Since it's non-taxable and counties have the obligation to provide services, these lands don't pay property tax, so it provided a revenue sharing formula that the counties have enjoyed and have appreciated for many years. So a really unique set of lands. Of course, our association was formed in 1925. The Association of Oregon or ONC Counties now is, we're in our 100th anniversary. So even before the ONC Act was passed, the association was formed. And since then, they've worked on every single piece of legislation that Congress has passed or could pass to affect these lands.
Now, that legislation is 88 years old. Do you ever get any pushback from that, from people that go, wait a second, legislation comes and goes and changes, and why are you still advocating for something that goes that far back?
Well, again, because of the uniqueness of these lands and the designation, the ONC Act really creates the framework in which they're supposed to be managed. There certainly has been other congressional acts that affect the way the ONC Act can be administered, and that's where some of the contention and some of the stress is created on how the lands are managed. But they are intermixed with private industrial timberland, and the ONC Act is a dominant use land. So unlike most other public lands that are mixed use or multiple use, ONC lands are dominant use, and they're really for permanent forest production under the principles of sustained yield. And they are designed to create a pipeline of timber supply into mills that we, you know, use to build homes and buildings in this country, for the whole country. So it's a really important piece of legislation, and I think the reason that it has stood the test of time is because of the uniqueness of it. It's only here in Oregon, and how well it was put together. And, you know, we continue to advocate for the proper application of the law. There is, of course, a bunch of different opinions on how you interpret law. We have some great historical examples and data on when we were managing those lands according to the ONC Act for 50 years. All the components of the Act, the parts where it talks about clean air and clean water and recreation, and we go ahead and throw in habitat, all those other values that are part of the ONC Act were all much better during the active management of the lands for 50 years than they are. Then all those values have degraded since we've quit managing under the principles of sustained yield. So again, because we've done this properly, and then more recently in the last 30 years have not managed to the principles of sustained yield, we have this incredible data set, and we can demonstrate a way to manage these lands that meet all the goals and values of the ONC Act, and really what the public wants from their public lands.
Now, do you guys work on legislation currently?
Yeah, so there's always legislation. So right now, and I think just today or just this week, the Federal Forest Restoration Act or some version of that from Bruce Westerman is being reintroduced. We have historically weighed in on that. I actually went to Washington, D.C. some years ago and testified in front of Congress about that particular act and the need to pass it. There is other pieces of legislation that float around we keep an eye on, including budget bills and funding and appropriations and things like that. So, yes.
Now, what other areas does the organization work in?
Yeah, so the four main areas is the legislation we've been talking about and the management. Those two were the primary two for, you know, maybe almost 90 years of the association. And then more recently, in the last 10 years, we've entered into doing litigation and really public relations and education about what these lands are. So those four big columns really the work that we do at the association fit into one of those. And management's it was certainly one of the more important things we do. So over that 100 years, the Association of ONC Counties not only has been working with the agency to manage these lands, but for many years, voluntarily, the counties that get a portion of this funding donated or offered back voluntarily 25% of their timber receipts in what was called the plowback fund. So in today's dollars, that's over $2 billion counties put back into investing in these lands to build the roads and the bridges and to do fire protection and replanting and the recreation sites and built the facilities that the BLM manages lands out of. Those dollars came from the counties to do all of that work. So very much part of the management. And then right now, of course, we're back on timber receipts. The Secure Rural Schools bill that was put in place temporarily to help offset the loss of timber receipts way back that occurred during the 90s. The first Secure Rural School bill was passed in 2000. It was supposed to be temporary. It expired October 1st of 2023. So the federal fiscal year that ended at the end of September 2024, that fiscal year, the timber harvested during that fiscal year is what counties can expect to get a timber receipt on. And because our association works very closely with the managing agency, the state of Oregon, BLM, the harvest is great enough off of those ONC lands, there's a chance that that timber receipt payment will be slightly higher than what we would expect from the Secure Rural Schools payment. Now, contrast that with what goes on the Forest Service. There is no statewide county association working all the time with the different U.S. forests that are in Oregon. Their actual timber receipt will be less than 10% of what the Secure Rural School payment will be. So that management is really a day-to-day. We have, of course, staff that work for our association that work very closely with the BLM to make sure they're meeting their requirements and their resource management plan. And then the third thing, litigation. I've been on many times talking to you about, you know, our big case that we tried to get in front of the Supreme Court. But there's also opportunities for us to intervene on behalf of the BLM's timber sale programs that are often litigated. Sometimes we come alongside the BLM and as an intervener and as having special interest because we get some of the value of the sale of the timber that funds our counties. So we do a lot of that litigation now. And then finally, the public relations and education work. We do multiple presentations every year. We are currently slated to go speak to the Oregon Loggers Conference. So our director for the Association of ONC Counties currently is Doug Robertson. Him and I have done these presentations. They're about an hour-long presentation that really gives the history of these lands, the importance to these lands to our communities and the services that we receive, and really the benefit of accomplishing all the goals of these lands and providing all the values in the ONC Act and simultaneously making sure we are producing timber that drives the economy here in Western Oregon.
All right, we're going to talk more about it when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. County Commissioner Tim Freeman with us, president of the Association of ONC Counties for 9 terms now, talking about the work of the organization. One of the things about it that's rather unique for any kind of organization is just how few people have been, you know, kind of the mainstays for this organization, including a rare low number of executive directors.
Yeah, so the Association of ONC Counties was formed back in 1925. The first meeting was called for and organized by a gentleman named Guy Corden that happened to be the assessor here from Douglas County at the time and later went on to do some pretty amazing things. And it was held in Josephine County. So in that entire time, the association has only had 4 full-time executive directors. Our current executive director happens to be former County Commissioner Doug Robertson, and Doug Robertson was president of this association for 25 years, and of course worked on it. You know, before that, he'd been a commissioner for 33 years, and I went back and did a little bit of math on that, which is pretty interesting. And I don't have the exact numbers, but he's been involved in the management of the lands, I think, for over 50 years, or over 50, I'm sorry, for over 50% of the time that the lands have been managed. So pretty incredible to have that history and that stability in an organization. Of course, that means this is our 100th anniversary year, and we are already planning a celebration and a meeting in Josephine County. We think it's pretty cool to go back to Josephine County and hold our 100-year anniversary. And then, of course, the work never ends. Most people know there's going to be a transition to a new administration happen next Monday. Our executive board of our association has planned and now is, you know, getting ready to go back to Washington, D.C. I'm leaving Saturday morning and have meetings already scheduled on Sunday. Hopefully there'll be some stuff put together later Monday. Most of Monday's taken up by the inauguration, but then I'm there all day Tuesday, and we have a good slate of meetings to again, that last component, public relations and education. The ONC lands are unique to Oregon. Recently, President-elect Trump talked about how, you know, we have wood here in the United States, that we don't need foreign lumber coming in, that, we, you know, if we manage our forest appropriately, we can take care of the needs of our country. And it really becomes a national security issue and a negotiating tool. So we are encouraged by his nominee for the Secretary of Interior, which oversees the BLM and eventually, you know, down to the level of the state overseeing and managing the ONC lands. The nominee for the Secretary of Interior is a gentleman named Doug Burgum, and Doug Burgum is currently the governor of North Dakota. So that means he has public land experience. He understands the challenges and the benefits of public lands in his state. I had a chance to watch his confirmation hearing this morning, a little over 3 hours, and he made a couple pretty darn amazing comments. First, he talked about working with local governments and actually said county commissioners. And I can't tell you how encouraging that is, that we have somebody that's going to be a cabinet member, eighth in line to be the president, understands the importance of working with county commissioners and local government. He talked about the need for the federal government to understand the uniqueness of all sets of public lands and honor the history of those lands. He's very much supported by the tribal nations in his state and around the country. Of all the hearings I've watched so far, maybe one of the least controversial picks, which means he may be able to come in and be effective very early on. I don't currently have a meeting with the nominee that could be the secretary by the time I get back there. However, the Association of ONC Counties was very forward-thinking and was able to invite and host both of President Trump's last Secretaries of Interior here in Oregon for meetings around our ONC lands. And we are fully expecting to try to get that done again and have, if confirmed, Secretary Burgum here in Oregon to talk about the uniqueness of our lands and really the path to be the model or the pilot to show how to properly manage forest for all the values, including making them fire resilient so we're not having to breathe smoke every summer.
Just over a minute left on Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman with us. Now, while the incoming administration more favorable to your point viewpoint on this, nothing changes quickly in Washington, D.C.
So that is absolutely a truth, although I will tell you, we went through this, you know, we've gone through multiple transition teams and changes of administrations since I've been a county commissioner. And this time is different than Trump's last time in that he has, last time it took him up to 2 years to get some of the positions filled. Clearly, he's been working on this for you know, many months before the election and is far further down the path of having the seats filled and having the people in place to do the work. So we're very encouraged by it. And, you know, we will look for those things that are kind of the low-lying fruit and continue to work on the big ticket items.
All right. And you're heading to Washington, D.C., where you'll be lucky if you're not in single digits.
Yeah, they're talking about the day of the inauguration, maybe the temperature being 14 degrees with a wind chill into the single digits. But the good news is I'm, you know, here from Douglas County and grew up here and I'm used to being in weather and I have the proper weather gear to wear the clothing and I'm really looking forward to, this will be the first inauguration that I've had the opportunity to attend.
All right, County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being in this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.